What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're in episode 121, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. And it is holiday season, so go ahead and buy something on Amazon. Two-day shipping on Prime is awesome. So you just get on that. And with me today, as always, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob?
We're back on Sundays.
Yeah, it's like our first topic of conversation. Yeah. What day did we manage to record on?
Yeah, it's very cold.
It's a disgusting day in Michigan.
Yeah, I didn't get the snow, although it's been like, there was like no sun. Like yesterday it was sunny, there was no sun today, and it was just freezing outside.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I guess I feel better to have the snow then, actually.
Yeah, I hate the like in between. Yeah. It's like, I want snow on the ground. And like, you know,
at least the snow like covers up all of the like the dirty stuff.
Yeah.
And so it like makes it look clean in a way. And then the gray skies and everything isn't so bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus driving in the snow is kind of fun if you don't have to get somewhere fast.
You're the first person I've ever heard that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, like, like you can go out and like drive around with your buddies, but like actually like commute to work, like you really don't want it to be snowy, I feel.
No. But like, I had to go to a Christmas thing yesterday. It was it was like a half hour away or so.
Yeah.
Like, the freeway was fine, but like some of the side streets and stuff were snowy or a parking lot. And so, you know, I just took my truck in there and sliding around, drifting it and stuff. That's
there
fun.
There you go. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. So, I mean, we had some snow, but like it was just like nothing even like covered the ground yet. So yeah. We're waiting for that. Cause like, I think Christmas Day, you want it to be, at least growing up where we grew up.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, you want to have snow on the ground. That's like a thing.
Yeah, and you know, for the longest time, I don't think it always was. It was always snowy on Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, things have kind of changed lately.
Yeah, global warming, bro.
Yeah. No, it's fake news.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's just, yeah. But let's jump into tech. How about that?
All right.
Let's get off weather and talk about tech, because this is a tech podcast. So we'll start with our reviews this week, and starting it off, I took a look at the VertDesk V3, and that is a electric sit-to-stand desk. And I have to say, just in general, if you're thinking about one of these, go for it. Sitting down all day is not healthy for you.
No.
And it's not like these are made for you to be standing all day or sitting all day. This gives you the option to... What I typically do is I start off my day and I'm standing, and then by a little bit after lunchtime, I'm kind of fatigued and I want to sit down. So it kind of breaks up the day, I would say, or breaks up that type of thing. I know people that use them and they stand all day, but for me, that's kind of how I use it. So this VertDesk is the, of course, third iteration of the VertDesk from a company called Beyond the Office Store, or BTOD. And this is not the cheapest desk out there. It starts at $517, which is when it comes to a desk. But it's compared to the Autonomous Smart Desk 2, which I reviewed and I still use here. I compared them both, and the VertDesk is definitely more sturdy. It's thicker. Like the actual
desk. It looks like a really solid piece.
Yeah, it's a solid piece. Like, I can legit stand on it and like move myself up and down.
Nice.
And I'm not like the skinniest person in the world.
No comment.
Yeah. And I'm not that bad, but you know what I mean. So as far as being, it's a solid, like, you could have your tower on here. No problem. A large monitor, multiple monitors. I have two dual monitors on a stand on it. Works fine. Controls are good. Everything works really well. But the one thing I didn't like was the installation was kind of a little iffy. Once you have it together, you're not going to have to mess with that really. Mm-hmm. But just compared to the autonomous desk, which actually had more parts to put together, this desk had less parts, but it was harder to put together. If that that really doesn't make sense, but it makes sense.
It shouldn't be that way.
Shouldn't be that way, but it is. And doing this as a single person, too, like I put this together by myself without any help, it got a little annoying,
What was so bad about it?
Okay, so to connect the two leg pieces, there's this hex rod, right?
Mm-hmm. And then is there a motor in each side?
There's
or
a motor,
crank at least.
No, there's a motor. There's an external motor that you put this hex rod through, and okay. it circulates the hex rod, so you go up and down. If that
so each sense. Side has some sort of a gear or something in it to do that.
Yes, correct. Okay. So you attach the motor, you put the hex rod through the motor, and then through one side. Okay, then so you're done with one side, and then you go over to the other side, and you have to line up the hex rod, and try to push it into the other side. But a lot for me, at least, they didn't line up correctly, and you have to turn the hex rod with a like a large type of I'm trying to think
like
of
a wrench.
Yeah, like a wrench, which not a lot of people have.
Yeah.
You know, especially
talking
like
to get it to line up with the other side.
Yeah. So if you not a lot of people have a wrench. Like most people have a screwdriver. Most people have a drill. Most people have, I would say, a hammer. Right. Like those are, but a wrench is something that I would, at least I feel, is not as common, especially in a place where you're going to be installing this desk. Right.
Yeah.
Luckily I had one. But it's, you know, and then getting that, and then using that wrench to turn it, which then again makes the other side kind of like fall over, because you according to the instructions, you're not supposed to secure everything down until you have both connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, that was a real pain. And again, I got it done. I did it by myself, you know, but it took longer than the autonomous desk did, and the autonomous desk works completely differently. So yeah, that was the issue for me. I did like it. I think that it's an incredibly solid desk. There's a ton of different options to choose from as far as desktops and all of that. The one thing is that when you get into the higher desktops, like this was a, I'm trying to think, it was a laminate. It wasn't real wood.
Yeah.
And when you get into the wood, the price of this goes up incredibly, especially if you want to do bamboo or something like that.
Yeah.
This gets very expensive. So that's something you have to consider. I think it's a great desk. I think that, again, it's incredibly sturdy. I think anybody who's looking for a sit-to-stand desk, this is a great option to have. You know. So, yeah, I like I said, I really like it. Just issues with installation. And, again, you have to see if this kind of fits what you want, you know, what you want to spend and everything like that.
Yeah, it's a pretty big price to just gamble on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not knowing whether it's going to work for you specifically.
Yeah. So this starts at $517.99. The Smart Desk 2 starts at $299. So, yeah.
That's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. But again, this one, as far as quality, I would say is better. So again, it's kind of, you kind of have to decide.
Trade off.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, what's going to work for you. I wish there was a place that had all these that you could just like go to the store and, you know, but.
Yeah, but that's where you also save money too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah, so definitely, if you're looking for a sit-to-stand desk, this is one that you should definitely consider. It's, again, these range from, I think autonomous is the cheapest, right around $299, and you can go all the way well over $1,000 for these. So this one's pretty much kind of like in that middle, you know, $500-$600 range.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, fully electric, so you press a button, it goes up, you press a button, it goes down. It has a controller with it as well, so you can program up to 4 different height settings, so you just press one button, goes up to where you want, you know, all that kind of stuff. So pretty cool.
Nice.
A little adventure for me trying to do this by myself.
So
that brings us to a solid state drive. We actually haven't taken a look at an internal solid state drive in a while. So we took a look at Crucial's BX300, the 240 gig version, and this is their entry level solid state drive. They had their BX series, they've had the BX100, BX200. This is the 300. This is powered by the Silicon Motion SM2258 and, of course, Micron 3D MLC NAND. Has speeds of 555 megabytes a second read, 510 megabytes a second write, and it goes from 120 gigs all the way to 480. No clue why they don't have anything higher than 480, because I think, especially when it comes to entry-level drives, you should be competitive at that 1 terabyte mark. So,
yeah, I feel like the 1 terabyte drive is especially useful for mass storage, which you're not necessarily, you don't need the faster drives for.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So you would think that a drive in, like, you know, the lower price per gigabyte, you would think they'd have the larger size.
But yeah.
They're trying to force you into the higher category of drive, but then I guess you also risk forcing your customers away from your product. So
yeah, I think a lot of the reasons is because, so they have an MX300 as well, which is available in the 1 terabyte, and this, because it came out later, it has better, not better technology, but they're very close in what they offer.
Yeah.
As far as speed goes, especially where the BX300 has a 3-year warranty, the MX has a 5-year warranty, some other stuff, different type of NAND and different controller, obviously, but they're very close. So in order to not jeopardize that 1 terabyte drive, especially in the MX300, I think that's why, why you don't have it here. But I think this is a really good drive. It is the entry level drive, so you are going to get that 3-year warranty, but it is very competitive at the 120 gig mark because a lot of companies don't offer that anymore. While 120 is still not a lot of storage, I think a lot of people just want a 120. You can run Windows off 120, no problem.
It's like the bare minimum, I would say, and it's not though. But today it feels like the bare minimum for like an OS drive.
Yeah.
Something just to speed up the operating system.
Yeah. So the 120 is $60 on Amazon. Not bad for an entry level drive. And the thing that you're going to get with this drive that you're not going to get on the 120s that are offered is that a lot of the 120s don't actually make use of the full quad channel controllers that is being used to power them. So that's why you'll see a discrepancy in the performance of those drives. Like the 120 would be obviously slower than a 240 and a 480, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With this drive, it will make use of all of those, which is good.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's a good drive. It's definitely a drive that I would recommend, especially if you're doing like an NVMe drive for your OS and then this as a storage drive. Perfect storage drive, incredibly reliable, very fast. It's a good drive.
Nice.
Yeah. So our last review of the week is something that a lot of people are like, this is stupid, you know? But actually, you know, one, everybody needs one of these, or at least I would recommend having a mouse pad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Two, this mouse pad, besides obviously it has RGB, whatever, you know, a lot of people are thinking stupid, but because it has RGB, it also gives you a USB port, which a lot of people take for granted. But like right now, I have the mic that I'm using to do this podcast plugged into that USB port because it's close and it's easy to connect it. You know what I mean? So it is the Corsair MM800 RGB Polaris, which is their gaming mouse pad that has RGB illumination around it, which makes your desk pretty awesome, I have to say.
Yeah.
And on top of that, good mouse pad, and it has the extra USB port, which I'm a huge fan of. Because there's just times where you want to plug something in really quickly, and if you have your tower like I do up on a shelf, or you have it below your desk or something.
Well, almost anywhere you have it, it's almost never right within reach.
Yeah, so, you know, if I have something, you know, you come over, you're like, Bob, I got this cool video, it's on this flash drive, plug it in, right there, boom, done, you know.
Yeah,
and then the mouse pad itself is big, it's definitely big enough. It's a hard style mouse pad. They just started offering a cloth version as well, so if you're a kind of a cloth person, you can go that route. I play a lot of FPS games. It's definitely large enough for that. I haven't had any issues with the mouse pad, and especially because if you are using a Corsair mouse as well, you can of course calibrate the mouse to the mouse pad with their Q software. So
it knows more what it's looking for.
Yeah, and what's really cool, obviously the Q software allows you to customize the RGB illumination, and on top of that, if you are using, say, a Corsair mouse and a Corsair keyboard, you can link them all together so they're doing the same RGB illumination or effect at the same time.
Perfect.
which again makes your desk look very much in sync, which it's a big deal to some people. So you have all that together.
If you're gonna go RGB, I mean, which everybody can laugh at, but everybody knows looks awesome when you have it.
Yes.
If you're gonna do it, I mean, you don't want it doing a bunch of different things all at the same time. That's for sure.
Yeah, just it's and the thing is too, nobody wants to use like three different apps to control whatever. It's just like a smart home. It's the same thing. Like I was because I'm doing an article on this coming up, but you know, all these different smart home products all use different apps to control them, right?
Yeah.
But until the smart hubs came along, like Google Home and Alexa and all these different things, you know,
to consolidate everything.
Yeah, it just makes it easier, makes it more viable. And this is the same thing. Like all Corsair products, all the same illumination. Not on top of that, I use the same software to set up the mouse pad, to set up the mouse, to set up the keyboard, you know, all that stuff together. So
yeah,
it's $50, $49.99. I think it was on sale.
Yeah,
I think it was on sale for a little bit cheaper. $49.99 right now. I like it. I think, again, if you look at the picture on the last page of the review, how it looks on the desk when it's dark, it looks pretty cool, I think. You know, and like I said, it's a good mouse pad, extra USB ports, and of course, RGB lighting. I like it.
Kind of comes down to whether you have the extra money to spend on something like that.
Correct. Yes.
Because $50 is, it's not insignificant.
Yeah, like I said, some mouse pads cost like $30. You know, just
or like bad. $10.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know, so
like it's definitely not a necessity to buy that expensive of a mouse pad.
Correct, 100%. So yeah, so like I said, if you think that this is something that you'd want for your setup, I think it's again, the mouse pad is secondary to the RGB lighting, obviously in this. So you're really paying for the RGB lighting.
Yeah,
and if that's important to you, and again, a lot of people these days it is, especially you know people who want their setup to look awesome. You know, I think that it's worth it if that's something you want to do. So yeah, definitely check out that review. I liked it. I didn't really find anything wrong with it either. You know, everything worked fine. Didn't have any issues with the software or the USB port or anything. So works great.
The one thing when I'm looking at it, set up on the desk. Does the cord ever have any issues with the port?
So where the USB port is, it kind of sticks up.
Exactly.
And basically what I've had to do is I've had to kind of just put a little, not a kink, but like I kind of just angled the wire up so it goes over that. That's something you're gonna have to do. I thought it was going to be an issue when I first started using it because it would hit that all the time.
Yeah.
But then I've kind of just trained my mouse cable to not do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if there was a, what are those called? The mouse, not mouse caddy.
Like whatever. A guide thing?
Yeah, or something that would allow, you know.
Where it, like you run the cable through that.
But it would be like elevated off a little bit. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a little bit better. But again, at least for me, I've had it set up so where, like right now, it's actually over that center thing because I have my, like, I have my mouse cable trained to do that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
All right. So definitely, something that could be a problem, but.
Yeah, it could be a problem. I thought it was going to be a problem, but it didn't. It wasn't a problem for me once I did that. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So hopefully you have a mouse that you can do that with.
Yes. Yeah. Most cables in general should be able to do that. No problem. So
yeah.
So those are our reviews for the week, and we'll jump into some articles and things. So first, because it is the beginning of the month, we have our worst PC setups, and that is the article that shows people's horrible PC setups. Yeah. Whether you're moving, whether you're just not a clean person, or you're just, you know, you're stuck somewhere and you still want a game and you have to have that setup, or if your laptop breaks and you put it into pieces and you kind of try to put it back together, it looks like some of these.
So
I don't know what your favorite one is this month.
I'm hung up on this guy that's got a gaming chair, but then everything else is trash.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money on a gaming chair just to stick it in like a nasty setup doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah, that
man. Dude, this I think it's the next one. Yeah, it's the very next one. That chair looks horrible.
That's so bad for your back.
Dude, yeah.
Oh man.
It's like a cloth chair, but like the middle portion where you sit is like gone, so they just have a pillow stuck in it.
That can't be good for your anything.
You probably have to sit on those metal bars.
Ugh. Yeah. Hey, some people will do what they have to do to game or to, you know, whatever.
I mean, you gotta give them that, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So bad for them. Yeah. So some of these are pretty bad. I don't think... I've had some bad setups over the years, I'd have to say. But I don't think... Yeah, not as bad as some of these.
I have some that could have fit in here. But yeah. Not... They wouldn't be the ones where you'd be like, oh, that's horrid.
Yeah, very true. I like this one guy. It's on the second page. Where he has a dresser, and then he has his monitor on the dresser, and then he uses the drawers. He opens them up to have like a keyboard in his mouth. Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's a filthy setup too. He's got ash and stuff all over the desk.
Yes,
that's gross.
Yeah, pretty gross. So yeah, guys. So if you're looking for some bad setups or want to feel better about your setup, definitely check out this article. We do it once a month, and it just goes to show that even though your setup might be bad, it can't be as bad as some of these.
Yeah, it's worth a click through.
Yeah, that is for sure. So, and then that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and this week we have a build from Flow Mods, which I don't think we featured any of their builds before. And this one is done inside of the Thermaltek X71, which is a very big case, but it's not a case we see used that often. I don't think we see Thermaltek cases used that often in general for builds.
Not their regular cases. You see a lot of the more extreme cases from them used for like mod projects, I guess.
Yes.
Bigger mod projects, but not kind of like this is more like an everyday deal. It looks a lot. It feels very Case Labs-y.
Very Case Labs, very Corsair 800D like.
Probably got accused of copying something.
I think this is the case that got accused of. I'm almost positive this is the case that got accused of copying Case Labs. I'm almost positive. I could be wrong.
I kind of thought it was the Case Labs at first. Yeah, so I can see that.
Yeah, I think this was when that whole thing happened. I think this was the case that was in question.
Which is probably why we haven't seen it too much, because people probably are steering clear of it.
Yeah. So,
regardless, it's a nice mod.
It is a very good mod. Fully water cooled, the black and yellow again.
Dual loop.
I guess the Steelers are doing good, so black gold. and dual loop with one of the coolants being black and the other one being gold or yellow. And then what's really cool is all of the tubing goes down to a separator that separates the top and the bottom of the case. And then there's channels cut into that separator, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it's like a backlit mid plate too. It's a white top mid plate. But then, so he did some pretty interesting acrylic work with that, in that he put the channels in it. Usually we've seen a lot of the backlit mid plate, so it just creates a really nice white glow rather than a strong LED look, and he's got a channels put built into the other side of it though too, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very
one thing
cool.
I was thinking was he's got LEDs in the front of it but not in the back, and so it kind of loses the light in the back of it. It's not as evenly lit.
Yeah.
So if I was to suggest something, I would put more I'd put another strip on the back of it. But
and I believe all the water cooling is Thermaltek.
Yep. Yep. It is.
Yeah. So
it's probably a Thermaltek sponsored.
Yeah. I assume, because he has a picture with all the Thermaltek accessories as well.
Yeah.
I
like he did. He took acrylic and or some sort of plastic, and covered up the back, which is like a pretty much a pro move. Like the back of a case, a stock case, always has so many cutouts and tie downs and stuff in it, or just places where the metal is punched through. So if you want to clean up the inside of a case, you put a new back panel on, cut yeah, out the like tray that. That you need and then put a new back panel on it. It cleans it up immensely.
I didn't even notice that because again, you don't see anything, so you don't notice it. So yeah, I really like that as well. So that's a good build.
He did the front panel too, I think, with the same material. He's got some, looks like it's probably CNC'd.
Yes.
Some sort of, you know, cutting mechanism to, you know, he's got these flow mods designed the side, and then some I don't even know how you would describe that, just some sort of a design across.
Yeah, it's just like some cutouts, and through those cutouts and through his logo you can see like the two reservoirs in there as well. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it would actually be a really nice case to have on your desk.
Yes, I think we say that about a lot of these.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I'm drawn to these, the more simple ones, because they just, it's really cool to look at, but it's not like this immense thing, you know, that just takes over the desk, kind of. Yeah. You know, it's a very functional, elegant piece.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And one thing that was cool to see, I don't know if you can see it, but towards the rear of the case, he has an SSD mounted there.
Yeah, the Acer Panther.
Yeah, so that is pretty cool.
He's got memory from them too. We haven't seen that memory before, I don't think.
I haven't. No, it's my first time seeing it as well. So yeah, I thought that was cool, especially to just show off the SSD and obviously not take away from that mid plate, because if you had it mounted on the mid plate, I think it would take away from the look of it.
Yeah, definitely. That's the biggest thing in those backlit white acrylic panels, is they have to be clear and clean.
Yeah, so
it doesn't do what you want it to do.
Yeah, so that is I like it. I like this build. Hopefully we'll see more stuff from Flowmonts in the future, because that's a cool build.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, so definitely check that one out, and we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. There's so much in there, so if you're looking for inspiration or want to see what's out there, definitely check it out. Tons of stuff. Sometimes I go back like a couple years and see what the mods were like then compared to now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a pretty cool thing. So yeah, let's move to news this week. And of course, the biggest thing this week came out of nowhere. I don't think that anybody
I was browsing overclock.net to see what people had to say about it there. And I guess they had some speculation. Somebody had a leaked image of it a long time ago, and so it ended up being correct. But like, there were still people on that site saying like, oh, I didn't even know this was coming. So yeah, this is a huge
And like, I saw it and I thought, like, when you had originally sent me the link in the morning, whatever day, I think that was Thursday, right?
Thursday or Friday.
And I woke up and I was like, I woke up and looked at my phone and
thought it was fake, probably.
I thought it was fake. I honestly thought it was fake. Then I saw that the story, like, you linked it from Tweaktown. So I'm like, okay, this is like a legit story.
Yeah.
And then I was like, really? Because again, we all expected to see this at CES. Launched later, and like,
yeah,
it's just out of nowhere. So what we're talking about,
yeah, there was no lead up or anything.
Yeah, there was no lead up, no like press event, which I don't think they need a press event for this card specifically.
But you think they would have held a press event to launch the line and this card?
Yeah, but they're going to launch this first, and the line will follow. Obviously. Yeah, yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about,
yeah, we are of course talking about.
Yeah, NVIDIA launched the Titan V, which stands for Volta, obviously. That is their new flagship graphics card. It's what Derek has been waiting for.
I don't think I can have this, though.
Yeah.
I have this, Bob?
It is $3,000.
Holy hell.
Yeah, so it is. I think this year has been the year to set the new price for normal parts, right? Well, again, like the 18 core I have here, I wouldn't say that's a normal part, but that's, you know, even the 10 core from Intel, yeah. Like all these parts are so expensive now. Like, would you actually have thought 2 years ago that we would see a graphics card that would be $3,000?
Dude, you can buy a car.
Yeah.
Like, not a good car, but you can buy a car.
Yeah, so I think this year has been the year to really, and like, you know, Fantex had the $800 case. There's just been so many things this year that have been over the top. I guess that's a sign that the economy's good.
Doing good. There's somebody to buy it, I guess, yeah? Or the people are stupid enough. Is that it? I don't see. I mean, it's going to sell, but I just don't. Are there enough people that can do this? I mean,
I bought, you could build a whole
Titans
computer
a while ago, but, like, Those were 1,000 when they first came out, and that was ridiculous. I remember that.
You could build a whole computer, a nice whole computer,
a really good whole computer,
a really good whole computer plus $1,000 monitor for $3,000. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can build a 4K machine.
You can
do a 4K monitor for $3,000.
Yeah, you can, for $3,000, you can have a 4K monitor plus a 1080 Ti plus, you know, like a latest everything, SSD, you know, everything.
Yeah, 8700K and everything, yeah.
Yeah, DDR, like everything. So so let's talk about it first. So again,
yeah, I did just send you a link for some theoretical specs, because we don't have those yet either.
Okay.
We don't have any performance.
I should probably open our chat app, because...
Maybe you could do that.
Yeah. Oh.
The specs, this card is like, it's a beast.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the actual specs first. Like the So this is based on the Volta, the GV100 graphics processor. That is the same one that powers NVIDIA's Tesla V100 HPC accelerator that was announced earlier this year at some point. It's a multi-chip module, so the GPU die and 3 HBM2 stacks are in the same package, which is, I think that in itself is really cool. Saw that type of package on the AMD cards.
Yeah, it's probably part of the reason for the price.
Yeah, so
yields on this are not going to be as good.
Not good at all. And yields on HBM2 are still not
great just either. The memory itself is expensive.
So it's 12 nanometer FinFET by TSMC, and this fully maxes out the silicon. So you have 5,120 CUDA cores, 640 Tensor cores. Those are specialized units that accelerate neural net building and training. Yeah. 320 TMUs. So this is spread across 80 streaming multiprocessors, and those are spread across 6 graphics processing clusters or GPCs. You also have 12 gigabytes of HBM2, and that is across a 3072-bit wide memory interface.
Massive.
The card is clocked at 1200 megahertz with a GPU boost up to 1455 megahertz. The HBM2 is running at 850 megahertz. And this is powered by a combination of 6-pin and 8-pin, so not dual 8-pin, which is pretty...
it's a step forward, actually.
It's a step forward, so this is going to be a very power-efficient card, it seems like, in terms of that. Same outputs that we've seen from NVIDIA, so you have 3 DisplayPort and 1 HDMI. It looks just like the Founders Editions of the other of all the NVIDIA series, just except for the accents are now gold.
Yeah,
you would call that like a darker gold.
It's really dark color. It looks really good.
It looks really cool. Opinion,
Backplate. We can't see the backplate, but we can see that there's one there.
Yeah, there is one there. And it is only available through NVIDIA's online store. $3,000.
Because nobody wants to stock it.
Yeah, so...
so theoretically, there somebody on overclock.net, Big Struens, he did just some fake math, I guess you could call it.
Based on the specs of the card he did.
Yeah, so the Titan XP, kind of comparing clocks and bandwidth and available memory and stuff. It looks like you're going to see a, by his math, 40 to 45% increase in performance.
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
And I think that if that increase follows through the whole line, on top of that, the efficiency as far as power would go, obviously more performance for less power.
Watt, actually at a slower clock too. So it should be more efficient as well.
Yeah, so I think that would be great for the, what would that be, the 2000 series? Is that what, if they call it the 2000 series?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I think that, again, that would be another kick in the nuts to AMD.
AMD is just like done at this. I mean, it's a massive, massive card, like performance-wise. This thing is a beast, and it has to be. I mean, at $3,000, and then the biggest question is, how it has to be to release it first, NVIDIA has to be super confident that it is, I mean, I think that 45% faster than, you know, Titan XP is required to justify the cost so that you can trickle down the performance difference to the other parts in the line, or else who's going to buy any of the other parts in the line?
Exactly.
You know, there's got to be a huge amount of room between this and the previous generation's top performer.
And when, you know, this will be out, like, how long till we do see a 2000 series card?
I think we're talking CES for sure.
I think we might see it at CES, but I honestly don't think we'll see it for a while.
Like availability? I think that they've built them, man.
I think the availability, I don't think we'll see it till middle of next year.
Oh, no. No way.
They don't need to. I just don't think they need to.
They didn't need to do this, though, either.
Yeah.
I think they're just launching it because they're going to wind up backed up themselves as far as production and next generation goes. They're going to wind up with, because they need to be moving on, you know?
Yeah. And one thing I saw, I didn't get to read it, but I believe these don't support SLI.
I saw that rumor. Somebody said it's got, I mean, there is no connector. You can look, you can see it. It's on the top.
Yeah.
There's no SLI bridge port. I was reading that it does something else and that it potentially could do multi-card configuration.
Gotcha.
I forget what they said. Yeah, well, maybe we'll get back to that subject a little later.
Yeah.
I remember what it was.
But yeah, so for me, I can't see spending $3,000 on a graphics card. Yes, the performance, right? Yes, right? But one, most people aren't going to take advantage of that performance.
Yeah. Well, and even at a 45% increase, it's only going to do 4K, and only is kind of a weird thing to say, but it's only going to do, you know, 80 to 90 frames per second on some of the most demanding games at 4K. I think that you have, with this, you got to do 4K single card at 120 for that kind of price.
Yeah, but again, this benchmark was Witcher 3 at ultra settings, which is very, very, very demanding.
But it's got to do that.
Yeah.
It's $3,000.
I know. That's why I said it's not for me.
You can get a pair of XPs.
Yeah. And they're a 769, I believe, for the lowest one on Amazon.
The XPs are down now?
I think they're 769. I think that's XPs. What I said.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
The TI is 769. Yeah. XP is still
pretty high.
13, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, so
it's just too much money. But like you said, they probably watched Intel do it with the 18 core. That asking price is crazy on that 18 core too.
Yeah.
So they just have, and they probably saw Intel sales figures for it and decided that, hey, we can do it. Let's go for it.
Yeah. And I think this card is not just a gaming card, right? I mean,
it's like you were questioning whether it was even a gaming card necessarily.
Yeah.
Because it really is more of, it's more of a Tesla.
Yeah. This can do, you know, a lot of different things for you. Content creation, obviously rendering, obviously mining.
Yeah, man, you'd never make your money back mining.
Yeah, of course. but I mean, I'm just saying the things.
Yeah,
this card,
there are other uses.
Yeah. So,
I think that it's a big question. Will be, can it SLI? Because if it can't SLI, I think it's limited. I think that actually would hurt it quite a bit if you couldn't SLI it.
Yeah.
Because as much performance as it is, like, who doesn't want $6,000 worth of GPU?
Oh, it's just too much for me, man. Too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the big announcement this week, guys.
Probably the biggest thing this week.
Yeah, we'll have to see performance when it does come out. And just to see more, get more about it. So when some people get their hands on these and do some tests and all that. So I'm sure we'll have it for you next week. I would think there'll be stuff released this week.
Potentially people have them.
Yes. Already. Yes.
So somebody's gotta be done. And some company has to have bought one just to test it.
I think so. Yeah. So I think we'll see some stuff come out this week, and then obviously next week podcast. Stay tuned. We'll have it all for you, and obviously check the site because if it's out there, we'll be talking about it. So.
Yep.
So yeah. So moving on to Intel, a new leak roadmap of their CPU product map revealed their next high-end desktop architecture, which is Cascade Lake X. And it looks to be coming in Q4 of 2018, which is crazy because, like, nobody needs the 18 core now. And, like, that's the next architecture. That's all we know. Literally, that's all that's on this roadmap is that. And that's going to be in Q4.
What's missing from that roadmap is, of course, the theoretical 8 core, 16 thread. That's what it was, wasn't it?
Yes. So
90. What was it? They were 9700K.
Yeah. So basically, this is the latest roadmap that's been leaked, right?
Yeah.
And in this roadmap is the entire desktop product roadmap. So here there is in Q1 of 2018 a refresh of Coffee Lake X, and it just says 6 4 and 2 core, 95 watt K. CPU. So we're like 6 4 and 2. Where's the 8? It's not on this roadmap, so it makes you wonder where's this 8 core that we've been hearing about? Where is it going to show up at? All that kind of stuff. It's not on this roadmap, so that's
potentially kind of debunked that whole rumor.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I still think it's coming.
You do?
I think it's coming. I think we'll see it.
Okay.
But it's not on this roadmap, so yeah.
No
mention
of i9 or anything.
Yeah, or anything on that. So we have a new high-end desktop. We have a new high-end desktop architecture. I know it is the end of next year, almost like a year from now.
But only gave us 1 year with the current.
I know, and that's like, man, these things are just like insane.
They're just popping stuff out now.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a market for it, they're going to do it. So.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see if we go even higher than 18 core, I think.
Oh, man.
We'll just see what next year brings.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's... I feel like it's not required.
I feel like we've set a very high benchmark this year.
Yeah. I think because you're not likely to see a huge jump from Ryzen... The same, you know, like enormous gains Ryzen versus old gen, that Intel doesn't have to necessarily. So they probably, development wise, they want as little of jumps as they have to make.
I agree with you there, for sure. We'll see what next year brings. I think that
it'll be interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting. Probably if you've been listening to this podcast to compare, you know, this year to even like last year pre-Ryzen, where like maybe we would see a new processor part, you know, every month or so, or news, a little bit of something, and now it seems like it's just like every week we got new processor news coming at us.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So talking about Gigabyte finally officially released their X299 Design Air EX. That is, of course, their high-end desktop, pretty much their flagship X399 board there. And they did so well with the Z270X Design Air, and this is... basically their Aorus X299 Gaming 7 with a different color design, and this one comes with a Thunderbolt 3 add-in card, which is nice, but this looks nice. Like if you're building an X299 sorry,
it looks okay.
Yeah,
I don't think it looks it's I feel like it's fairly subdued.
I just think the PCB would have made it so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, just not going with a black PCB.
Yeah, just...
They did that with the entire line this year, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Everything is black.
Because they want the...
Which is better than green.
Yeah. they want all the RGBs to really do the color thing, you know? Yeah. But I just think that Z270X Design Air was legit.
Yeah.
So yeah, but again, this is pretty much the same board as the Aorus X299 Gaming 7. Again, with this one, you get a Thunderbolt 3 to add in card, which could be useful if you're using Thunderbolt.
Yeah, and, for the person that is going to buy this board, likely it would be.
Yeah. Cool looking board. Expect it to be very expensive.
$500?
Something like that. $459. Somewhere in the fours, I would say. Something like that. So yeah, so also talking about motherboards, so really interesting story came out this week. Somebody actually was able to mod a Z170 motherboard to support a Coffee Lake processor. The big thing with Coffee Lake when it came out is, why did we need a new chipset, right?
Yeah, because it was the same pins, right?
Yeah. So even Asus said it was possible. The big issue was with the extra cores of the 6-core processors, there wasn't like enough power, at least the way that Intel explained it from what I understood, right?
Yeah, the stuff that delivered more power.
Yeah, so that's why we had X370 or Z370. So, oh my, these are so, they're all the same. Z370. That's why we had Z370. And so somebody was able to mod a MSI Z170A X-Power Titanium motherboard so it would work with an Intel Core i3-8350K. Now, keep in mind, this is a quad-core part. This is not a 6-core part.
Yeah.
And he was able to do this via a custom BIOS mod and microcode changes. There are some bugs with this, like the iGPU is not working on the chip. And the primary PCI slot is also not available through this. Pretty cool that's possible. I don't see a use case for this, obviously, because it's not like people are going to buy an 8350K and put it in their old...
I mean, if he releases this BIOS, if he can release this BIOS for everyone to use, I don't know if there's a legal
there might be a
reason for him not to be able to do that. It used to be that you could just do this sort of thing and nobody cared, but these days everybody's suing everybody, so.
Yes.
This is very much reminds me of the old days of overclocking, though, where you would actually hack stuff.
It does. It very much
hack
does.
Hack BIOSes and firmware. I mean, people still do it, of course. But yeah, this definitely, with a more mainstream thing, it feels like the old days.
Yes, very much so. I think it's cool. I think that the whole new motherboard for Coffee Lake pissed people off. But I think once you get into the 6-core and hopefully we see that 8-core, you're going to need that.
Yeah, on the other hand, though, shouldn't it be, aren't they more power efficient?
But I think the extra cores need more power. Like, I don't know. I think the extra cores need, at least the way Intel explained it, they needed more power or something.
Maybe they do. I mean, they probably do. He's only using an 8350K. This is not an 8700K. It's not, it's a 4-core and it's lower down on the list too, you know, of parts. Yeah. It's not consuming as much power. Exactly. It's a slower part.
Yeah. So, again, I think it's cool. Maybe we will see if he's able to get this where everything works and doesn't get sued by either Intel or a motherboard manufacturer.
Yeah.
You could see some people doing this, maybe.
I mean, if you've already got the board, maybe why not, right?
But yeah.
I wonder what gains you would actually make. Why don't you just keep running your Z170 with whatever you got?
Exactly. So, moving on, Raging Tech introduced a really cool CPU cooler that, of course, I like because it's all RGB. Yeah. They introduced a new, it's their Leto Pro RGB, and it's basically an upgrade to their original Leto, and basically it adds two RGB fans, one on the front, one on the back, so you push-pull. I think it looks pretty cool. I think it would look really good in a system, which you don't have a photo of. but it's just two 120mm RGB fans on a black heat sink, which I think looks really good.
Yeah, but we also talked about how that can be bad, too.
Thermally, it could be bad.
Restrictive.
I
like that it has a nice big block on it on the bottom.
Yeah, it does. It does have that's like a solid block, too. I just noticed that.
Yeah.
Very solid block down there. So hopefully this not only looks good, but is very cooling efficient as well.
Functional as well.
Yeah. So yeah, so we're not gonna talk about that a lot. I just wanted to put it out there because I think we do get hit up a lot about people asking about what's the all the best RGB things. At least I do get hit up a lot about it. So if you're looking to do air cooling in one RGB, this is a cool CPU cooler to go with. So
yeah, definitely without check having it out. To buy your own fans.
Yes. So a very I'd say this is sad. I would say this is a sad story. NCIX, who is more known, obviously they're very well known in Canada, that's where they started, but they're very well known for Linus. That's where he started, that's he did their videos originally, that's where Linus came from. That's he did the videos for them. And then he branched off and did his own thing, obviously, but that's why a lot of people know about NCIX. That's where I know about NCIX, I think. And they filed for bankruptcy, which is kind of crazy. I think for a lot of people, they were like the new egg of Canada.
Micro Center.
Okay. The Micro Center. But still, I mean, if Micro Center went under, I'd kind of feel bad.
No, definitely. Yeah. Certainly. Just comparing, like, you know, the field, the area they're competing in, which was, from what I understand, it was possibly they didn't go for the online market hard enough.
Yeah, I think that happened. I mean, we see that just with normal retail in general. You know, so the company was founded in 1996, was going really well, opened a ton of stores, opened different shipping facilities all over Canada and even one in the United States. By all accounts, they seem very profitable to a lot of people who were at least, not that we followed them, but I mean, every time you heard of them, you never heard anything bad. But apparently back in July, they had a financial crisis and they had to close a bunch of retail stores, and it doesn't seem like they didn't fix that problem. And they closed their last store on November 30th and filed for bankruptcy on December 1st, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, you just hate to see this type of thing go away. Some people probably don't care because they don't just order everything online.
The thing that is kind of sad for me is because, again, I knew of NCIX by watching Linus's videos early on. Like, this is years ago, and that's a lot of the first real tech video content I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I know NCIX. And like, again, you don't want to see this stuff kind of go away, but I mean, it's very hard to compete with online stores like Newegg and like Amazon and all the other places, you know. And if you're not doing that, and you have all of that retail property, which is another cost, you know, that's another huge cost.
Very prohibitive.
And then all the employees of the so yeah, it's kind of sad. But again, this doesn't mean they're gone. We have seen companies into bankruptcy and come back. In our realm, Tiger Direct and Radio Shack are examples of companies that went into bankruptcy and came back out.
Well, I mean, it's basically, this is Canada, but in the U.S., that's like the way you do it, right? That's according to our president. That's what you do. Yeah. You amass a lot of debt and then you just go into bankruptcy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
they're on the right track here.
Yeah, so it is, it's kind of sad, but, you know, things happen. But
yeah, unfortunately, it's just kind of we've seen it with Best Buy in the United States that you have to be very aggressive in this market in kind of redoing the way you do business because of the online market.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So we'll move on to a better, more happy story.
Sure.
So it is holiday season, and Ubisoft wanted to give back. And they're giving away two games, and two pretty good games, I would say. They're all 100% free. It's called their Happy Play Days. And they're giving away World in Conflict, and they're giving away Assassin's Creed for Black Flag.
Yeah. Which is actually a really good Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, so I've heard good things about World in Conflict as well.
I've
never played it. I've played the Assassin's Creed games, and when I can get one for free to play through, not going to complain. So right now, today's the 10th. This podcast will be up today. So if you're hearing this today on the 10th, that is the last day to get... it's to December 11th. So, okay, so...
They got till tomorrow?
Yeah, from the 4th to December 11th will be World in Conflict. We have the link there. You just go to that link, and you sign in with your Ubisoft account, and it just gets added to your library. And then from December 11th to December 18th is Assassin's Creed. That's all you have to do. Just go to the link, nice. Click it, and boom. So yeah.
Log into Ubisoft.
Yeah. Get it done and just add it to your library, and you're good to go. So two more free games. We've seen a lot of free games this past couple months. So just two more. And I say Assassin's Creed is the one that everybody's pretty excited about on this one.
It's,
so.
I have that for PS4. It's actually a really good game.
Yeah. So
lots and lots of hours of play there.
Nice, nice. I think Assassin's Creed is one of my favorite single-player games. So...
So, yeah. It's a hard thing to say as a really hardcore PC gamer, but it plays better with a controller.
It does.
I feel so.
I originally played it on Xbox. So
yeah. Yep.
So yeah, I do have a Steam controller. You also got a Steam controller. Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end. Yeah, talk about that later. Yeah. But yeah. So that is going on, and then another really interesting thing happened this week, which I actually found out before I saw it on any news sites, is, I have an Amazon Fire TV. I watch a lot of YouTube, mostly. That's what I watch. And mm-hmm. I got a notification that said YouTube will no longer be available on Fire TV starting January 1st, which is a big deal.
Yeah, and a bit of a surprise to most people.
It's a big deal because if you use Fire TV as your streaming player, which I do, I have a Fire TV stick. That's what I use for Netflix. That's what I use yeah. as my media device. If one of the biggest sources of media, the app that yeah. I use the most on that device is no longer available, I'm gonna have to get something else.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big blow to Amazon.
Yes.
Which this is an ongoing. If you read into this, it's an ongoing little argument, war, battle, whatever you want to call it, between Google and Amazon. And it kind of sounds like Google started it a bit, because Amazon wouldn't sell Chromecast and other yes. devices on Amazon. So Google decided to stop having support on Amazon devices. So I guess you can decide which way that goes. But
yeah, I do think it is... It is kind of crappy that Amazon's a retailer, right?
Yeah.
And they're selling everybody's products, but they're not selling the Chromecast or any of the Google products.
Because they compete directly with their own.
Yeah.
Ish.
Ish, yes.
All of this is still sort of like, none of this stuff is the same though, exactly, right? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like Amazon, Alexa is not quite the same as Google Home. They all have like their own little things they do better or do separately. So
yeah, but as a retailer, being the biggest online retailer in the world, which I believe they are, you should sell yeah. everything.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah,
so you'd at least want a good relationship with somebody like, say, Google.
Yeah, because Google ultimately. Like a lot of people are really going into this. A lot of the articles I read, like, you know, if this gets any further, like, Google could just de-index Amazon.
Yep. Your search results could start returning like, for anybody else.
You think that that's not a big deal, but if you think about people searching products and the first thing that shows up is Amazon, if that doesn't show up anymore, I know a lot of people use Amazon, I know, but that's a huge deal if you get complete de-index. I don't care how big your company is.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you're searching for a product or something, that little suggestion is a big deal. It reminds you that you can buy that there. Even if you are a Prime member, you're not always thinking, I should buy this on Amazon.
Yeah, so I think that the taking Google off of Fire TV was, like, the big shot, right? Because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, and this is the first time we've seen an app because of the two companies not getting along being pulled from a device.
At least this big.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Yeah, and for me, like if this doesn't get rectified, I'm gonna buy a Roku.
Right? Yeah, which is interesting because Google is probably hoping that you're gonna buy a Chromecast.
I don't like the way I want a set top. Box that I can use a remote like that.
You want more than Chromecast has to offer.
Yeah, I don't want to stream something from my phone.
Yeah. Chromecast has its uses. I use it all the time, but I also use my smart TV, which does, you know, what you're talking about.
That's the thing. It's like, should I just get a TV that has Roku built in, you know? But I really do like the Fire TV interface. You know, like, I'm used to it now. Like,
Yeah, the familiarity, that's a big part of what we buy.
But with Roku, you get everything as well. You get access to Prime. You get access to YouTube, and you get access to everything. But I just like... I'm in the Amazon ecosystem per se. Like, that's where I shop. That's where, you know, I watch a lot of shows on Amazon. I use Amazon, you know, like, so it's a big deal. For me being a Fire TV user, it's a very big deal, especially considering every day I watch YouTube when I'm eating lunch. I don't watch TV for the most part. So,
yeah,
big deal for me.
Catching up on your vloggers and such.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of, there's great stuff, and there's great tech reviews too by other people that I'm friends with, and I just like to, you know.
Yeah, gotta stay current.
Yeah, there's always good content on YouTube, and YouTube's doing originals now, just like Netflix and everything, you know what I mean? So there's just good stuff on there, and as a set-top box, for it to be pulled, that's a big deal. So yeah,
definitely
Not very happy with this. So we'll see where that goes. Like I said, come back from CES and just get a Roku. So
yeah.
So we'll talk about Bitcoin. It's been all over the news this week.
Wait, what?
This thing is called Bitcoin. It exploded this week, but we're not going to talk about that specifically. We're going to talk about things that kind of pertain to us as PC users and gamers. First thing. Steam has removed Bitcoin as a payment option. So for the longest time, you could buy games and things through Steam with Bitcoin, which made sense. That's the most popular digital currency. Steam being where gamers and people who are informed about
digital game service.
Yeah, a digital game service. You would expect them to take a digital form of payment. So they did, and they did it for a long time. But they just stopped doing it. And the reason... Pretty good reason is, one, the fluctuation of the value of Bitcoin. I mean, it was fluctuating. I mean, the one day it went up $4,000. And you know that, and then on top of that, the very high transaction fees, almost $20 per transaction, is a lot.
The big problem with that, if you don't quite like, that sounds like it's just going to make Steam money or whatever, but it just turns people away, because you end up the fluctuation. So you buy a game for $20 today, and then it goes up so high that really that game tomorrow just cost you, I don't know, $200.
Yeah,
because you spent the coins today. So it's not good for their customers.
Yeah, exactly. Was it announced today that Litecoin is not being accepted?
Sounds like it. Yeah.
So we haven't really researched that much, but we'll probably have a story on it starting next week, just once we get all our research and everything on it. But so yeah, so that was it wasn't a big blow, because I don't think a lot of the heavy investors in Bitcoin care about that.
Yeah, it's just you want to see it used places.
Yeah,
it's so volatile, it's never going to be used.
Yeah. So that was the one thing, and then the second thing, which affected me. And I know some other people that this affected. Anthony at Tweaktown lost money on this, and I lost money on this as well. So the Bitcoin mining pool NiceHash was hacked, and $68 million gone.
Wow.
So basically, NiceHash, basically what it was is an application. Mainly, a lot of people use it on Windows because it's so easy. It's just like an application that mines, you know, uses your GPU or CPU to mine. Super easy to set up. All the other ones that I've used to set up, you have to edit bat files, and you have to kind of do it that way.
Yeah.
With this application, you set it up, you hit mine, and it does it, right? Very efficient. It tells you exactly how much money you're making, everything. Like, it does it all for you.
Yeah.
I used it because it was super easy. One click, boom, I'm mining and making money, right? And it's a pool. Basically, a mining pool is that you're mining along with so many other people, so that allows you to get paid faster.
More hashes.
Yeah. So many people used it. A lot of people who have gaming machines I know used it just because, like, while my machine's sitting here, I'll make some money or whatever. And it was probably the most popular mining software, at least for Windows, I would say. And it was hacked. and the money is gone.
Consolidated to a single wallet and transferred out.
Yes. And we saw this happen with what was the big exchange that got hacked 3 years ago?
Well, the only thing I can think of is when Silk Road got taken down. But
no, it wasn't that. There was a big exchange that got hacked.
I don't remember.
And all the money was gone. You know,
it's hard for people to get their head around that this is just gone. Like, somebody literally stole $68 million.
Yeah. I lost some money that I had some machines running here. The money was gone. You know, they had an official release. We don't know. They had a live cast I saw on Facebook telling that they want to try to rectify the situation. What's sad is there is alternatives, which I have already set up running on my machines here. There is no easy alternative that worked as good as this software, if that makes sense.
You think it's that ease of use that created these, like, this security risk that allowed this to happen?
I think it's popularity, and obviously the popularity of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And the dramatic rise in how much it's worth, its value, has really made places like NiceHash a target.
A big target.
Yeah. You know. So, yes, $68 million is gone. I didn't lose that much money. I know Anthony lost a decent amount of money because he has a whole thing running. If you go on Tweaktown, just look up cryptocurrency. Anthony does all the articles, and he's researched a lot and mined different things to give us, you know, a lot of the information that we actually have on what gaming cards can do for mining. Anthony has done, so he's done a great job. But yeah, that's a big deal. Like, even if you're, you know, like, say, like, I have a 1070 Ti here that I use to mine. It makes me a little bit of money, but it also offsets the cost of the electricity. Now that money that I was going to use to pay part of my electricity bill and then have some extra, I don't have. Yeah. You know.
Yep, you essentially gave that money to hacker.
Yeah. And even this didn't really affect the price.
Oh, Bitcoin? No.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It went up the next day, didn't it?
Yeah, it went up the next day.
A lot. Like $3,000.
So, this is the problem with these things. And I, you know, after this happened, I did a lot of research over the past few days, and, you know, offline wallet is a good idea. You know, I just say that now, but if you're into this kind of stuff, yeah, offline wallet's a good idea. Another sad story to end on. Stories that are kind of bad, but, we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. So I'll be taking a look at a massive case, one of the best cases, or what I wouldn't say, like, one of the most functional cases I've ever used. It is the Be Quiet Darkbase Pro 900. The Pro version is their flagship, has so many awesome features. I just did the build today, and it turned out awesome. Stay tuned for that. This is a case that you would like fully, like, you can, you know, shove radiators in here. Tempered glass side panel, tons of cooling. It comes with it actually ships with their very expensive fans as well.
You know, that's something that I am starting to look for in products. Is I want to see their nice fans. I don't want to buy the broken down knockoff kind of cheapened fan. You know.
Yeah. So this is one of the first cases that I've seen that comes with like their flagship fan as well. You know.
Nice. Because Be Quiet makes really good fans. Actually.
Yeah, and this thing is whisper quiet.
Yeah, imagine.
I have to say, I turned it on and I was very surprised. So, just an awesome case. Really well thought out, although it does have issues, which I will go over in the review and we'll talk about in the podcast next week. But just like I said, it's good to see. And this build was fun and it was cool to see everything that you could do with this case. So, definitely stay tuned for that. And you'll be taking a look at a gaming chair, which is something new for you. So you can tell us a little bit about it.
This is OPC, I think.
I think
we're not 100% sure.
I'm not sure if it's OPC or OPC. I would go for OPC.
Yeah, I like OPC. It's a gaming chair, right? So they're all, you know, designed after racing seats. So you all know what they are. You've seen them everywhere. This is a review of one, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else.
Yeah, there's
it's nice.
Yeah, there's a little bit, some of them are different, some of them offer a little bit more, but
yeah.
Technically, most of them have the exact same design. I've had the chance to review three or four,
yeah.
And there are some differences in, obviously, cushion size and all those different kind of stuff, but just stay tuned for that this week.
This
is Derek's first experience with one, and I believe you were under the assumption that they were all hype.
I didn't understand, like, why. You know, like, why would you make it look like a racing suit? That's because racing suits are designed in a way to keep your body in place while you're driving a car, getting pushed around at high Gs. So I was like, why would you? It seemed gimmicky to me, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Did it change your mind, though? Did it?
Yeah, it's really comfortable.
Okay, cool. And you're sending it now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
And then Ryan is checking out the Rocket Sora FX. That is their, it's frameless, which I like. I hate extra, So when it comes to keyboards, I hate extra, just like extra plastic and stuff. I just want the keys and that's it. Like, I like my desk. Like, I have this nice bamboo desktop. Like, I want to show it off. So it's frameless. It's mechanical, fully RGB backlit. This is the Rocket version. It works with their Swarm software, which I haven't seen the newest version of the Swarm because I haven't been checking out a Rocket product in a while. So it's interesting to see what Ryan says about that. Because their software,
they have really cool ideas though.
Rocket
makes really interesting stuff.
Yeah. So we'll see how this one goes, but it should be a very durable one. At least the ones that are like this, like the frameless design, they're usually heavy and like I like a nice heavy, really nice keyboard. And this is, again, very streamlined. So we'll see what he thinks about it. So that's what we have coming up next week. There'll probably be some other stuff next week. I just haven't got down to what it's going to be yet. So a lot of interesting stuff coming and cool reviews and all of that. So it brings us to the end here where we talk about if we did any cool tech stuff this week.
I think we got a lot of things to talk about today, too.
Yeah,
go ahead. A lot of nerd stuff happening.
Good. So tell me about
this. Okay, around Thanksgiving, Steam had sales on their Steam Links and the Steam Controller. And I know this is it's not an old product, but what, it's at least a year old.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe two. And so they were like $5, right, for a Steam Link, which is down from 50. So like that's a pretty good deal. I definitely was going to get on that. It was a little bit more for shipping, but I got one of them and I got one of the combos, so Steam Link and the controller.
Nice.
Finally got them. They took a little while to ship. Is a little understandable because they probably sold like a million of them or something
for $5. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. If you don't know what this is, too, before I go further, it streams from your desktop. Your desktop runs the game, and then Steam streams it to the box, and the box displays it on your TV or whatever other display you're using.
Yes.
So I set mine up upstairs in my like family room area, and I wired it with Ethernet, and it is flawless. I use the Steam controller. That's okay.
I think the
Xbox
controller.
One controller or One X or whatever you're using is better. But it's a good attempt at a controller for somebody who's never done one.
I agree.
I don't, it's got the right thumb, like, mouse look pad. And I tried to use that to play Wolfenstein 2, and it couldn't move fast enough. It was basically impossible to use.
Yeah.
I would have rather had a joystick there.
But I agree with that.
Playing Dirt 3, which has just been in my Steam library, it gave me a good excuse to play it. It's pretty much perfect for that. So
nice.
I'm enjoying that quite a bit. I don't think any other games or movies or anything, but in case your head's buried in sand, Star Wars comes out on Thursday night.
Are you going opening night?
Well, yeah, I have 7:30 tickets. Yeah,
nice. That's gonna be a nice night.
Yeah. Oh, and a warning to everyone: the official premiere was for like Hollywood was yesterday, and anyone who's attended it is allowed to talk on social media about it. So if you're looking to avoid spoilers, be careful.
I'm gonna go see it next week during the week in the middle of the day by myself.
You're a loser.
No, because one, I hate crowded theaters, and then like, not to sound like an old man or anything, but I am sounding like an old man. Like, there's like kids, and they're like talking, like you know what I mean. They just ruin the movie.
Yeah.
And I like, while I do like, I can reserve my seat. Like, it's just so much nicer to like just be in a half empty theater, watch it by myself in the middle of the day, like, you know.
Yeah, but then you miss out on like the whole experience.
Yes, I agree. There is an experience going opening night. I did it. The last movie that I think I saw opening night was 300.
Oh really? Yeah, I definitely did that one opening night too.
Yeah,
I did. How did that get so much hype? Actually, don't know.
Did you look at the previews? I mean, it was amazing.
Well, yeah, but like movies, doesn't seem to me that happens anymore.
Yeah, I think we're in a different world,
different era.
Yeah, because like movies aren't as big, I feel, because everybody's watching YouTube on their phone, you know.
Yeah, like people don't go.
Yeah, people don't go as much. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I remember like going to see stuff opening night, and like the hype was real.
Dude, it was so much fun to show up and then realize that there's all these people that are just as passionate as you.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't see that as much. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the whole experience, not just the movie, the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'll probably show up, you know, 6 or 7 hours early, hang out.
So if you guys didn't know, Derek
loves a good line.
For some odd reason, his theater, his local theater, did not have reserved seating last year, right?
Is that correct? 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah,
did not have reserved seating, which is news to me because I mean my theater has always had reserved seating, so. He was in line 8 hours early.
Dude, it was like 3 hours early.
No, it was more than three.
No.
It was a long time. And then he got in there and had horrible seats anyways.
No, I had really good seats. I just had this enormous person come and sit next to me.
Oh, yeah. He was really upset about it.
I was.
So, so is that all you did this week, tech nerd-wise?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Yeah, so I got the new iPhone.
Oh, that's right. Nobody cares, Bob.
There's a lot of people who care. I think it's obviously much faster than my 6S. The camera is amazing on it. I'd say, I mean, obviously iPhones have always had really good cameras, but the portrait mode's really, really good. So I've been playing with that this week. What is there anything else I did? I don't think.
No games, no shows.
No games. I actually did play some games just for fun with Jack and Oz. That's pretty much it. Just working on reviews and stuff. So cool. I have a lot of stuff coming up towards the end of the year. We're less than a month away from CES, which is exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? This is a good. We got Star Wars, and then CES is coming. Oh, Christmas too. Don't forget about family and stuff.
Yeah, Christmas.
This is a good time of year.
Christmas, New Year's, CES. It's gonna be a good next month. So this month we're gonna have a ton of stuff for you guys. A lot of content coming out on the site, YouTube, all over the place. Obviously, podcast here as well. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about, so you can click through and get even more information. So until next week, catch you guys later.